Amen. Amen. Well, please pray with me. Oh, Father God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the compassion that's revealed through the Word of God that you extend to us, the mercy you extend to us. Thank you, Lord, that you use us in our weakness, Lord, so the power of Christ may rest on us. May you use me in my weakness, that God be glorified, and open our hearts up to everything you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. What I really appreciated about what Lori Swain shared today is something the Bible makes very clear. It says, treat others the way you want to be treated. And that's called the golden rule, but it's a Bible truth. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And she talked about how people didn't see her. We had a person that was a couple, as a matter of fact, they were homeless. And they would, you know, be asking for help. And they said what was hard wasn't whether people helped them or not, was the people that ignored them and refused to see them, refused to acknowledge them. You heard the story about the blind man, the two blind men. Jesus is on the road, and he's going down this road, and these two blind men, people with weaknesses. And the world tends to do what to people with weaknesses? Devalue them. And so these blind men heard there was Jesus was coming, and what did they do? They cried out, Jesus, help us. What did the crowd say to them? Be quiet. Why did they tell him to be quiet? Annoying, and they weren't important enough for Jesus to care about them. They were blind. They had this weakness in their life, and so they weren't important enough for Jesus to help them or respond to them in any way. They might have been blind physically, but they had spiritual vision, and they could see, and they knew that Jesus wasn't one that would devalue them because of their weakness. What did he do? They cried out all the louder, and what did Jesus do? In a very personal way, and said, how can I help you? How can I minister to you and touch them? Here, these people that were devalued. Does the world devalue people that have weakness? You know, it breaks my heart about selective abortions. That's one way we devalue. Oh, somebody wants a male or a female, and they decide to abort it because it's not the right sex. Or people with Down syndrome, the percentage very high where they're aborted. I think that's tragic. It's part of our culture that devalues people that have what we might call disability, autism, mental illness, all these things, the elderly, and they devalue them. And what's very sad too, it's even gotten to the point where this whole thing of assisted suicide is more accepted. How many of you heard of Joni Erickson Tada? Very powerful testimony of her life. This is a picture of her when she was very young. When she was 17 years old, she dove off a platform into the Chesapeake Bay, hit her head on the bottom, and ended up as a quadriplegic. And this is what she said about assisted suicide. Now, this lady has gone on to start a very powerful ministry to people that have disabilities, very powerful, and to people that are suffering. So, and he or she would have ended her own life. And how many people, how many thousands of people have been touched through her life and through her ministry that could have been ended? Because she was going through a hard time, like we heard from these two families. They were in a dark place when these hard things happened. But it's about God's faithfulness to us, about God's love for us that's reaching out to us. Does God care about people with weaknesses? How does God view people with weaknesses? What did you hear what it said in the book of Leviticus? It said, that, don't you dare put a stumbling block in front of a blind person or curse a deaf person. Well, a deaf person isn't going to hear you cursing them, is it? Is he or she? Or a blind person isn't going to see who's put a stumbling block in front of them. But does God hear the curse? Does God see the person? And what does God say? It was kind of a, don't you fear God? It was, hey, you're going to mess with God if you don't respect and treat these people the way you would want to be treated, to treat others the way you want to be treated. And so God has a concern and understands. So our God is protective over people that have weaknesses. Anybody here have a weakness? We have all kinds of weaknesses. That's why I like that word weakness, and it fits in with the scripture that Paul's going to provide for us later on. We all have weaknesses. Do you know I need a metal walker to get around? Did you know that? I'm using it right now. You just can't see it. I have two artificial hips. You can't see it. It's inside me. But without that, I couldn't get around. I'd probably be in a wheelchair. So some weaknesses are more obvious than others, aren't they? Sometimes I hear people say, well, God put these kind of people in the world to teach us something. No. God put everybody in the world to teach us something. Not just special groups, everybody in the world to teach us something. Not just certain people. There's a pastor that has a real heart. I'm reading a book that he wrote on disabilities. And he said this. He said, people with disabilities are not an example of imperfection to the perfect. Not an example of imperfection to the perfect. They are an example of imperfection to the imperfect who think themselves perfect. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of the things it talks about is the resurrected body that God's going to give us. Anybody excited about that? Yes. No slings with the resurrected body, right? No need for hips or... Every weakness we have now is temporary. Compared to the glory that God has for us, it can't compare to what God has prepared for those who love Him. But we all have weaknesses. We all struggle because when Paul tells us about a resurrected body, he said, your body was sown in weakness. And it'll be raised in power. Sown in weakness. So our bodies are sown in weakness. Do our bodies remind us? Like Ash Wednesday, and we put ashes on somebody's head, and we say, excuse me, your bodies come from dust, until dust your body will return. What's the purpose of Ash Wednesday? To remind us that life here on earth is temporary. Does your body remind you that life on this earth is temporary? Was your body made to be permanent? So our bodies wear out. And so we are reminded, again like Ash Wednesday, that life on this earth is temporary. We sang about that in our worship time. And so people's weakness are more obvious in some people than in others. But we all have weakness, and that's the way we should approach life and each other. Now, if you, we're going to talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me just give a little context before we open up that passage. Paul, in this letter, is dealing with some people that have come in after he started this church, and they're coming in. He calls them super apostles, and he calls that, it's kind of, he's being sarcastic, because these people are very hyper-spiritual, all into prosperity and vanity and pride. And that they make the whole gospel about themselves and how special they are and how good they are. And they're obviously much more appealing much more attractive than Paul's attractive, much better speakers than Paul. And so Paul calls them the super apostles. And they obviously have talked about visions and revelations, these special visions and revelations. And so Paul, you can see in this passage, reluctantly starts to brag. But you have to really get the point. He's not bragging about the special revelations he's having. He's saying, that's not what Christianity is about. It's not about me telling you all these wonderful spiritual experiences I've had. It's about trusting God in your weakness. That's what Christianity is about. So if you have a Bible there, your church Bible, 864, it's what Chris read to us. We have good readers in this church. So 2 Corinthians, page 864, chapter 12, right at the beginning. He says, must I go on boasting? Must I go on boasting? Although there's nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man. Now he's putting himself third person here. Because he's just reluctant. I mean, he's not wanting to come across as pride or arrogant in any way. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. And this experience was so amazing, he didn't know if he was in the body or out of the body. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I am speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me. So he's offering the exact opposite example of these super apostles who are making it all about them. He said, it's not about me. Christianity is about me. So it's not what you think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. And then he says, to keep me from being conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. Now, lots of debate. What is a thorn in the flesh? A lot of people think it's something physical, emotional, his eyesight. We don't know. But he had this weakness. And I think God intentionally doesn't want us to know. So no matter what weakness we struggle with, we can identify with Paul here. A thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Did we hear the testimony about that today? My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is the opposite of the world. The world boasts about its strength, boasts about how impressive it is. But here, Paul's saying, Christianity is about boasting about our weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. So you see, these super apostles were saying, look at that Paul. He's always in trouble. He's always suffering. He's always getting beat up or shipwrecked or all these horrible things. That's because he's not a great apostle like we are. And I don't think Paul was defending himself as much as he was defending the message, the gospel of grace, the love of God. And so we heard about the love of God through these testimonies today, practically how God's love works itself out. What about Jesus? Does Jesus understand weakness? What does it mean that Jesus, let's look at this passage here. Do not curse the deaf, we talked about that one. I just quoted that. Let's read this together. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so Christ's power may rest on me. So this is talking about Jesus. For he was crucified, what's it say? But lives by the power of God. See, Christianity is your weakness is your strength. In the world, we want to be self-sufficient. But what does God tell us? Be dependent. Completely dependent on God. Not on yourself. Be completely dependent. What was Jesus' weakness? What did weakness did he have to show? He had to be completely dependent on the Father, didn't he? And when the Father said, take this cup, Jesus said, I don't want to take it. Can we get around this cup somehow? But in the end, what did Jesus say? Not my will, but your will be done. So it was that weakness of his complete dependence on God, obeying God, being obedient and trusting God, that complete dependence was where he was showing weakness in the eyes of the world. You remember what Paul said? He said, the weak in the world, and God picks the weak. Remember Paul said, most of the folks he picks are not very impressive people. They're not big shots. They're not scholars. Most of the people God picks are people that are weak in the eyes of the world, because it's going to be the weak that God uses to change the world. So it's in our weakness, in our willingness to be dependent, not in ourselves, but in God, to trust him in all things, to surrender our lives to him, to say, God, I need your help all the time. The Voices of Hope from Sanctuary of Hope sing this song, you know, God, I can't even walk without you. I can't even walk without you. We need every breath we take is a gift from God. Every breath is a gift from God. How dependent are we on God? If God blinked, we'd all disappear, and everything in the creation would just fall down. We are completely dependent on God, and it's the more we're dependent on him, the more we're weak, the more we're able to say, okay, God, I'm trusting you. Paul writes, as I said, the church at Corinth, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many of you were noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And this is the opposite of the world. You ever heard of Richard Dawkins? He's a pretty well-known, famous English atheist. He once mocked a Christian for his belief in Jesus. And this is how he mocked him. He said, he who believes that the creator of the universe, the God who devised the laws of physics, the laws of mathematics, the physical, everything that exists, that genius of mathematics and physical science could not think of a better way to rid the world of sin than to come to this little speck of cosmic dust and have himself tortured and executed so that he could forgive. He's mocking him for believing that it was the weakness of Christ and what he did on the cross that this man believed. It's an argument against the Christian faith, but it's the very center. Like Paul said, for those that believe that Christ died for us, those are the ones that are experiencing the power of God. But those who find it a stumbling block or foolishness, they're the ones that don't understand that it's in the power of God, comes in the weakness and our dependence on God. Let's just quote that verse again. For my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so Christ may endure. Father, may we become more dependent. May we seek guidance more often. May we trust more deeply with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Thank you, Lord, that you use the weaknesses in our lives to remind us of how much we need you, Lord. And Lord, may we treat people, Lord, different than the world treats them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that when you look at our weaknesses, you don't see a weakness, Lord. You see a chance for us to be dependent and to trust you. May we do that, Lord. May we put these words into practice in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.